Well, great to be with you all. Feel free to move yourself around, you know, informal space. Jesus had everyone sit in chairs and rows when he spoke. No. Although he did tell them to get into groups of 50 once for organization purposes. So he was practical. Well, great to be with you guys. Thank you, Brian, for that blessing. So what I'd like to do today, last time, I'll review a little bit of last time's message from 2 weeks ago, and then I'll get into this one. Last time what I did is I basically cast a prophetic charge to our church. And so I know we don't have slides here yet, and I don't know if we'll do slides or not. I think it would be nice for worship to do slides, but I kind of like you having a look in your Bible, me having to slow down sometimes. 1 Timothy 1:18, start there. I pray right now specifically for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You realize that you can ask for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him? That's helpful. Amen. I need help having wisdom and revelation. So I receive that now by faith, and I ask that you would receive it too. Okay, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You can actually wage warfare according to something. The prophecies made concerning you. How many people have prophecies that you carry around in your heart that have been made concerning you? Come on. If not, we'll just start prophesying over more of you. Okay? Because everybody needs to have the prophetic word in your life, speaking into things that God has yet to do in your life, hoping against hope sometimes for what God's plans are. And so the charge was committed to Timothy by prophetic words. There is a charge, I'm telling you, there is a charge upon our church, upon Agathos, and it's according to the prophetic words that have been spoken over this church, and there have been many. We are a people of promise. Prisoners of hope. We have been given a prophetic charge. Oh, you're fine. Do you guys remember some of the words I shared last time?
Yes.
I'll review them because it might be tough to remember. And for people that weren't here last time. In January of 2016, or December of 2016, I saw the Lord speak in front of our body. I was in a vision, and the Lord went up on stage, and he spoke to the whole congregation. And one of the things that he said is he said, I see you as influencers, and I'm calling you to go out, to reach out, to deliver to your neighbors what I've delivered to you. And around that time, I was asking the Lord, Lord, how do we do that? Are we supposed to have, like, outreaches or what? And I saw this vision of a rake, you know, that you'd use for, like, leaves or something. And there was a wooden handle and then all these tines. And I realized that the Lord was speaking to me, you're going to have one message, one wooden handle, but lots of different outreaches. I thought, okay. And you guys know with prophecy, you see in part. You look through a glass dimly. You don't get the whole picture right away. You've got to go through it sort of progressively. You get a bit more and a bit more and a bit more, and it starts to line up, and you start to the will of the Father becomes increasingly clear. So I just kind of stored that one away. And I connected it to a word from Mark Crawford, who's a prophet friend of ours from Australia, from 2013. And in that word, I'll just highlight some of it. I shared it last time if you want to listen online. Such a strong word about our church. He said, this church is going to be a prototype church. And I shared last time that the key to prototyping is agility and trying things. You know, Apple has an R&D department, a research and development department. You got to try things. By the way, for those of you who are new here, often I teach just word. This word is more of like a rhema word. There's logos word, rhema word. Logos written, rhema prophetic. Before this last message, the Lord told me, he said, you've got a framework. I'd been doing a deep study on the word ministry and minister and the word. And he said, you've got a framework, but that's not a vision. I want you to cast your vision. And so the last message and this message are about my vision for the church, just starting to get you guys coming in line with what I'm seeing the Lord doing. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I'll give you what I have, which will help you understand where we're going. okay? And not just understand it, but empower you to partner with me and the Lord in going there. Now, we're called to be a prototype church that's going to equip and send people to go out into society to make a difference, bring the kingdom into places. And we come together for this to encourage one another, to hear what God's saying, worship together. The gifts are operating, but this is just a training place. Okay, let me just give you a framework. I'm going to keep trying to give you some like pieces of the puzzle as I have them, okay? Here's one of the pieces of the puzzle. The goal of church is not Sunday service. Because they're going to actually happen, the gifts are going to happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at a greater intensity than in here.
Amen. Yes.
What I just said, you can noodle on for the next month potentially, and we need to get that. We need to get that. The goal of church is not Sunday service. Right now, we are not at the pinnacle of what we do as a church. Gathered here right now, I'm telling you, we're not at the pinnacle. The pinnacle is throughout the week. Oh, that sounds nice. No. I'm not trying to sound nice. I'm telling you what's real. This is a training place. When are the Buckeyes at their pinnacle? Not last night. We're going to have a ministry time at the end. Andy needs ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Comfort those who mourn. Okay. When are they at their pinnacle? On Saturday during the game, not at practice. This is practice. This is training. Mark said we have an incredible privilege as a group of people to be a church of the kingdom. That's a significant phrase. Remember, all spring I taught a message, what is church? Was it the message, right? Upon this rock I'll build my blank was the title of the message series, right? What is church? And what do we know the Greek word for church is? Yeah, ecclesia, I think it's pronounced ecclesia. So now that I've taught you how to say it wrong for 9 weeks, it's ecclesia, I think. Okay, and the thing about ecclesia is the ecclesia was the democratic ruling body of Greek and Roman society. They decided all things in terms of war and peace, cultural issues. They decided things about treaties. They just decided things about tariffs. And so now when you hear that Jesus says that upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. All of a sudden it's like, wow, apparently the church, the ecclesia, is supposed to be pretty legislative on the earth. The ecclesia carries a mandate, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as on earth as it is in heaven. That's the mandate upon our church. Here's the next thing I'm going to tell you. Not only is Sunday not the pinnacle, but I'm here to tell you that the kingdom is the goal, not church. Said differently, I philosophically believe that the Word of God says, it's my philosophy. I believe it's clear in the Word, but I know that not everybody would think like this. But I'm telling you that I believe, as it relates to church, this phrase, kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things added unto you. I think God believes kingdom first. The church serves the kingdom does not serve the church. We are representing a heavenly nation here on this earth. And he said, go disciple the nations until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. When you step into this mandate, when I step into this mandate, heaven steps in behind you. This is the agenda that heaven is backing up. And all these other things will be added to you. A church of the kingdom. And it says you're called to be a people who are the church, a people of action. You'll see the kingdom come and you'll see his will being done unlike any other place on earth. There's a uniqueness to what God's called us to. Now, that doesn't mean to compare yourself with other churches. That's silliness. Don't compare yourself among yourselves. Don't we have an identity in Christ that's far better than anything a church could do? Please. Do you hear me? I'm serious. You know, don't compare yourself among yourselves. Okay. You have an amazing calling and destiny around you guys. It won't be just one or two of you. Hello, it won't just be one or two of you. So if what I lead doesn't produce something much bigger than one or two, I've failed. I've been charged with something. The church has been charged with something. I'm part of a lineage of leadership, starting with Joshua, praise God, he's here today, Brad, and now me. Our church has been prophetically charged with something, and part of that charge is it's not just going to be one or two of you, it's going to be a whole group of you, all of you moving together, this word says, like in formation, yet going in different places, yet still in formation. And Mark says it doesn't quite make sense, because if you're not in formation, yet you're going different places, it's a paradox, he said, but that's what it'll be. Mark's a seer a lot of times. He sees it. So he was seeing us in formation, but going in different places. Like, how's that possible? Wait till you hear what the Lord's put upon my heart that corresponds to this vision from 2013. So we've got these words. So remember last time I talked about there's a revolution and a reformation. I'm speaking to you prophetically again. There's a revolution and a reformation. I'm talking about the Kairos season we're in as a church. Revolution, reformation, and it's supposed to lead to renaissance. Mark Crawford had been talking revolution, reformation, and last year at Voice of the Apostles, last year I was there, and Bill Johnson, as an aside, says, we've been hearing a lot about revolution and reformation. I'm like, oh, did Mark and Bill talk? But I think it's just, it was flowing around in the prophetic sphere. And he said, can I add a third word to it? And we're like, yes. And he says, renaissance. The Reformation is supposed to produce renaissance in the spheres of society. The revolution, I believe, I'm speaking to you. Now, by the way, some pastors don't go here, but I'm going here because, listen, if the body of Christ is supposed to legislate and we can't speak about political things with the heart of the Father, then we're ill-equipped to actually lead the world. Remember, God said, if you can't solve these sorts of things amongst yourself, how are you gonna rule nations, right? And so we need to be able to understand and discern the times and the seasons and understand what the Father's doing. And I'm telling you, before Trump was elected, a month before he was elected, I had this dream where I was falling through the sky from a bridge that had collapsed, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, tell my people to not be shaken. There was a great shaking, the bridge collapsed, and he said, tell my people to not be shaking. And I told you guys that month. Then Trump was elected. Trump was the shaking. Revolution. I'm telling you that Trump was the revolution that was prophesied. And then the big fight around Kavanaugh, I'm telling you, was Revolution 2.0. This is what I believe prophetically, the time we're in. I believe the Reformation has just started. And if you remember last, and the Reformation is of the church. And so last time I said Reformation starts. Well, Olin came up afterwards. And Olin's not here right now, but you guys know how Olin is. He's like pretty calm. And he comes up and he said, I don't know how to tell you this. And he said, I could share. But when you were talking about the Reformation, things being birthed, it's like I saw a tidal wave start. I don't know if it just started today or just recently, but get ready. It's coming. He's like, there's a revival coming, you know. And so I was like, wow, man, that's great. So what I'm saying is there's a Reformation that's starting the church. So I go to Voice of the Apostles this past week again. Bill Johnson taught two messages while we were there. The first message, he starts like this. For 6 years, we've been hearing a lot in our circles about the word reformation. His entire first message was on reformation. Do you know what his second message was? 1 Timothy 1:18, waging the warfare according to the prophetic word spoken about you. Isn't that awesome? I haven't listened to him in probably 6 months or a year in terms of anything he's saying right now. But here, he's saying the same sorts of things that I'm talking with you guys about. Okay, there's something happening, and there's another guy there, Mark Sharona, who's saying we're about to see something break loose in the church, like we have, no, like it's not part of our grid. Okay, so I'm just telling you that there is a season of reformation that's right now, and I told you guys, Mike Bickle, you should read it. Released an open letter to the prayer and prophetic movement. He's the leader of IHOP, International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and basically they scrapped their entire December conference and said we're starting over. Total reset. God's doing such a new thing right now. We can't do anything like we've done before. We have to start totally fresh, put our ear to the ground and hear what the Father's saying, or we're going to miss him. I'm telling you, there's a reformation in the church that's going to happen right now. It's going to start. I'm not saying, you know, God is amazing. There's a nowness to God, but then there's never a hurriedness to God. It's awesome about him. But that reformation starting right now, I believe prophetically, and it's going to and supposed to, if the church does its job, to produce renaissance in the spheres of society. Because reformation in the church that doesn't produce renaissance wasn't reformation at all. because Sunday is not the goal. Sunday is not the pinnacle. Okay, now one of the things that I was talking about is that we've got to learn how to operate in a new wineskin. In a new wineskin. Remember I shared that there's some keys. We got to know it's progressive, it's positional. You can listen to the old message, last message, okay? The other thing, I remember I shared that vision that I had where I saw the heavenly courts, and there was two decrees that were, and there was contempt against the church and contempt against the body. And I believe that the Lord was saying to me, again, you have to listen to the whole thing, but the Lord's saying to me, he does not want us to operate in a new wineskin in judgment of an old wineskin. We need to guard our hearts, okay? So one thing we need to guard our hearts against is that desire to constantly try to figure out, well, what's it going to be? What are we going to do? Remember that the wineskin, the form, is not where the power is. The power is in the new wine. The wineskin just allows the powerful new wine to exist successfully. Our tendency is to try to create the new wineskin, try to create the new form, thinking that brings the power. It just allows for it. The Holy Spirit, if we'll follow him, will help us form the new wineskin to receive the new wine. He knows exactly what the wineskin needs to be like to receive the new wine. So that's the first thing I want to just communicate, is that when we're operating in a new wineskin, we each have a responsibility to shepherd our hearts. To shepherd our hearts, to not be given to that thing of needing to know exactly what it looks like right now. I told you the trick for you guys, for some of you, is going to be you're now in a prototype church. We've been that, but I'm saying you're really going to be in a prototype church. I'm really comfortable leading prototype organizations. I helped lead a prototype organization called Metro School, and its mantra was small school, big footprint. That was its whole concept, was to be a small prototyping facility that could release things to many visiting groups so they could see how they could replicate that in their more traditional settings. And so I'm real comfortable in that sort of space, and so, you know, I feel uniquely prepared for this sort of thing. But I know that it can be uncomfortable because some people like to have things buttoned up and dialed in and all these sorts of things, which I can understand, but you're going to have to be careful not to try to overdefine a thing. It will start to look like something, but we can't make it look like something before we know what it looks like. We don't want to birth it out of the flesh. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Good so far. Good so far. Hello. Okay. All right, turn with me to Luke 5:39. And I'm having a little trouble up here. One time I was in Idaho and I couldn't stand. I got up to speak, I couldn't stand. I had to like double over, and then I couldn't find the book of Timothy. Someone yells to me from the front row who had just been up there, step off the stage. I step off the stage, my mind comes back to me. And then this prophetess that was there, she said, yeah, there's two seraphim angels on either side of the stage. So then Mark Crawford gets up there. He couldn't speak. He said, boy, I had a lot good to say before I stepped up here. The presence of God can sometimes be so strong, you kind of lose it. I feel a little bit like that up here right now. Okay. Yeah. Stop. And no one having drunk. Old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Here's what I'm trying to highlight there. It requires a purposefulness to step into a new wineskin. No one having drunk the old desires the new immediately. They say the old's better. What am I highlighting here? All of nature, all of our normal intellect, all of our normal methods will default to what we've done before. This is why Mike Bickle at IHOP is saying, reset. Totally new. He's not saying, let's make some incremental changes. He's saying, new. Why? Because he knows this. When God's doing a new thing, you have to realize that it requires purposefulness to go there in your heart. Okay, next verse, Matthew 4:17. Who wants to read that one for me? Maybe Mr. Austin here.
The pressure's on.
It's right at the beginning of the New Testament.
You said Matthew 4:17?
Yeah.
From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near."
Thank you. Repent. 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 I want to just give you just a little bit more on this wineskin thing. A few times in small groups recently, and I pay attention to this when I'm explaining something in a small group and a new teaching sometimes comes out for me, not because I was prepping it on my own, but because I was just talking with people and a teaching comes. Here's this teaching. There's a difference. I'm going to give you an analogy, but I think it might really help you guys. There's a difference between an operating system upgrade and a new program. Do you guys know the difference, like on your phone? You go to the app store and what do you download? A new what? A new app, a new program, right? But what's different about an operating system upgrade? It overhauls the whole thing. What else happens to your phone? It has to what? It has to shut down and reboot. I'm here to tell you I've learned this difference in the Lord. I'm just trying to describe a process I constantly go through with the Lord, it seems. New revelation, some revelation is just additive. Some revelation requires a subtraction before the addition. Some revelation requires a reboot before it can boot up. That's what I'm calling an operating system upgrade. Some revelations are just, it's like a new program. You're like, wow, that was so good what I got from the Word this morning. Let's add it to that shelf. Sometimes you get a new revelation, you're like, there ain't no place on the shelf for that. My shelves are working against that. And then the Lord gives you more. My shelves are really working against that. And then you have to rearrange all the shelves in the place to accommodate this new thing that the Lord showed you. And you're like, we can't even be open for business right now while I'm rearranging all these shelves. We got to shut down. Wow. Let me rearrange all these things. Okay. Now let me start back up. God sometimes will end a thing before he gives you a new thing. Not every revelation is only additive. Some are subtractive before they're additive. I'll give you a personal example. This is what Jesus was saying. Remember, he said, repent. He didn't just say, the kingdom's at hand. That's a revelation. He said, you're going to have to let something die in your thinking before this thing can raise to life. I'll give you a practical example. 2 weeks or so ago, one morning, I was having these weird emotions. As I was getting into the Word, I'm like, Lord, what is going on? Now, usually when I've had those emotions, and I'm talking more than a decade, this is what I do with God. It's like I'll take them to the Lord. Lord, what is it? Am I believing a lie? Is there a truth from your Word that I know that I'm forgetting? Is it the person next to me? I mean, sometimes I pick up on emotions of people around me sometimes. I need to be careful that I don't think everything's from me. You know, this is why I think some people are schizophrenic. They're like really high-end perceivers. Oh, that's funny. So I'm having these weird emotions. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And as I'm having those emotions, I hear the Lord speak to me clear as day, because I'm taking them to him, just like I've always done. Lord, straighten this out. It's good. I'll understand you better. I'll understand your truth better. You know, I've just done this, you know, thousands of times. And I hear the Lord say, out of the blue, what if everything was okay right now? And I'm like, wow, it like arrested me. Like, what is this? The oddest thing happened. I kept asking the Lord for days, like, what are these emotions? Am I missing something? Still there. 10 days later, I'm driving out to Pennsylvania with my boys this last week. On the drive out there, I'm taking it back before the Lord, and I'm like, you know what? I remember what he was saying. He said, what if everything's okay right now? And I said, Lord, I know I hurt you. What do you mean, what if everything's okay right now? Are we good? I'm like, what if? And so I'm like, what is this? And all of a sudden, over a 2-hour period of driving, I get to this place where I have a new thought, and the new thought was this. the safest place I can possibly be is in the words of the Father. In other words, I still had weird emotions I didn't understand, but my Father was still speaking to me, everything's okay right now. It's like, So I just settled into it, and I had a great peace. It's like, wow, something new. Can I tell you what happened? I go to the conference. I have just one of the most profound encounters of my sonship in God that I've ever had at the conference. An amazing revelation of his name being upon me, him identifying with me. And then a revelation that I had been waiting for 10 years. For 10 years, I had this recurring vision in prayer of a situation that happened with the Lord, with the Father, on Friday night during worship, when he showed me his compassion. And what I learned was, is that compassion is not love despite of weakness, it's love especially because of weakness. All of those revelations this week, that week came because I got to a new place, which was, I don't know what I'm feeling right now, but I do know that my Father says I'm fine. I had to repent and change an old way of thinking, which was when there's an issue, I go to the Lord and I deal with it. Isn't that a good thing to do? Great thing to do. But the Lord said, you can't get this revelation unless that one gets set aside. That's an operating system upgrade. It affects all the things. And you have to be able to hear what the Father's saying. Okay, so we're in an operating system upgrade. So let me just tell you what's happening here. I gave you some of the stuff about the church, the kingdom first. I want to give you another piece of the vision. And I was telling Renee today, there's probably 6, 7, 8, 9 pieces of this vision that'll come over time. And I've given you a few of them so far. But this one is pretty cataclysmic. And I'll just give it to you narrative style. In December, my friend Brian Orm, who's a prophet, kind of apostle prophet, I'd probably say, out of California, he had a Facebook Live that he said, hey, I'm going to do a Facebook Live. I've never scheduled myself before that or since then for a Facebook Live. You pay attention when the Holy Spirit grabs you with something. He wants to lead you into his path, but you got to listen. So I was like, what is this? So I just really wanted to see this Facebook Live. I'm like, okay, I want to be a student. I got the Facebook Live. I took notes. Here's what the Facebook Live was about. He said this. He said, the biggest taxi company in the world does not own a car. What is it? He said, the biggest hotel chain in the world doesn't own a building. Airbnb. He said, the common theme is decentralization. He said, when's the church going to catch up? It arrested me in the spirit. I was like, wow, what is this? So I get on this Facebook Live thing, and he starts speaking about this. And all of a sudden, things that Joshua and I have talked about for probably a decade, Brad and I have talked about for probably a decade, where we're like, there's something not quite in the American church. It's not critical. It's just like, it's not quite producing the sorts of things that you see in Scripture. What is it? And I have had lots of thoughts about that, but all of a sudden in this Facebook Live with Brian, I'm like, oh my gosh, the missing puzzle pieces started to get shoom, 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 inserted. Okay? Fast forward a few weeks to the end of December 2017, December 28th and 29th, I'm in prayer and I hear the Lord very clearly say, he says, I want you to start designing in the kingdom of God. I thought, because I've designed an education for years. And he said, I want you to start designing in the kingdom of God. Because I was wondering, am I going to have a vision for this church sometime? I was fine if I did, and I just passed to the church, you know. But all of a sudden, he says, I want you to start designing in the kingdom of God. And I'm like, okay, I know what that looks like. I do that in education, you know. And then the next day, he says, I want you to start a mobilization, not a movement. A mobilization, not a movement. I said, what's the difference? I'll tell you about that in a second. So what Brian was talking about was decentralized church, not against centralized church, but just as a new wineskin. He's saying there's a prophesied billion soul harvest, but if to be honest with you, how is it that a church of 5,000 people is going to handle a billion soul harvest? Like, maybe this isn't the venue for this. But if you're a church of 5,000 people and you want to bring 2,000 more people in, you probably got to think about bringing like 4, 5, 6, 7 more people on staff. I don't know how many. Expanding parking spots, more services, capital campaign. I'm like, this is not a very agile process. Do you see what I'm saying? How are you going to handle a billion? That's an expensive way. And I love big churches and what they can do. They can do things we cannot do. Okay? But I'm just saying that's not a very, there's a need that that's not going to meet in terms of the agility function. And so, okay, I'll stop there. About a month ago, so I've been brewing on this and brewing on this and brewing on this and brewing on this, and it's like, wow, this is coming alive in me, this decentralized church thing. I've talked to some of you about it. About a month ago, it's like I woke up one day with this phrase in my heart. And it just was like pregnant in me. I don't know where it came from. It wasn't like I was listening to the Lord, and it was like it just was there. And the phrase was, I want a church with no ministries. I want a church with no ministries. I thought, now, when it happened, I've learned to hear the Lord, right? When it happened, everything inside me jumped with excitement. I thought, wow, that's alive on the inside of me. What is that? But my head says, that's crazy. So do you know what I did? I went to the Word. I studied 137 scriptures in the New Testament, or 137 uses of the words minister or ministry. Because I was like, there's got to be something in there that disproves this notion that I have. Because I don't want to, you know, I had a holy fear. I'm going to lead a church in this. I'm not going to just like, hey, this sounded interesting. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to see from the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the Word that contradicts what I'm telling you. So I was like, wow. A month into studying, and this is how the Lord moves, sometimes you have to prove yourself a diligent worker approved before he gives you the next. A month into studying this, my brother-in-law is over. He says, how's church going? I start explaining to him this decentralized church thing, you know, asking him, what about Uber? What about Airbnb, right? And they're like, huh. And I said, so I'm interested in what's that look like in the church, right? And this whole time I'd been thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't want to just replicate Brian's vision. But I knew I wasn't, because it had come alive inside of me. That thing that he sowed in there in December had come alive inside of me, and I was getting all of this revelation on it in my time with the Lord, so I knew it had come alive in me, but I didn't want to do. But anyway, so I'm talking with my brother-in-law, and as I'm talking with him, this phrase comes out of my mouth. I'm an external processor. I say, you know what? I bet the founder of Uber felt really crazy saying that he wanted a taxi company with no cars. And all of a sudden, I realized the Lord had led me exactly full circle into where we had started, which is this: I want a church with no ministries. I'm telling you, it's a new wineskin. What's that look like? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, Kodak didn't know what digital photography looked like, and they don't exist anymore. I don't think Borders knew what online book sales look like. Borders isn't here anymore. God does new things. His character doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But his expression of what he's doing will always meet the need of the people. And the Lord's calling, this is Joshua's original vision from, I told you guys, about 15 years ago, where he's saying the Lord told him that God's going to change the face of the church in a generation. We're still within that generation time. I believe the time is now. There's a kairos moment that we've arrived at, and we have a privilege as a body of the people in the days ahead of you to have a unique expression of a people that are a church of the kingdom. Uber is a taxi company with no cars. How's that going for them? Airbnb is a hotel chain with no buildings. You can't do that. Not in an old wineskin, you can't, but in a new wineskin, you could. Now you got Marriott and places trying to catch up with their online offerings. We are uniquely positioned as a prototyping church. We're small. And God's positioning us to be able to move into a space that doesn't exist yet. I've been telling myself to keep myself in a place of like, I don't know, humility, for lack of a better word, or just proper perspective. It's kind of how I think of it. There's nothing new under the sun. We're rediscovering things that church fathers surely walked in. But the Lord did correct me a week and a half ago when I said that there's nothing new under the sun. He said, that's an Old Testament phrase. It's from Ecclesiastes. Because there are things hidden in Christ which no eye has yet seen. A movement is a series of organized activities working towards an objective, an organized effort to promote and attain an end, the moving parts of a mechanism. To mobilize is to put into circulation, to release for bodily use, to assemble and make ready for war duty. It, under the old framework, you're a taxi driver if you're full-time. You're a taxi driver if you have a company car. Are you catching it? Under the old framework, you're a minister if you're full-time. And you need a company car. In other words, these are the ministries the church runs. When do you minister? 9 to 5 or whenever you're driving the car, the company car. When are you not a taxi driver? When you're not in the company car. Duh. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so when I was 13 and had no idea how to hear the Lord, I got really, really serious about, Lord, I want to know if I'm called to ministry, right? I'd just been on a missions trip. I really wanted to hear from him. And so I started seeking him in a way that I never really had before, and I had no clue what it was like to hear from him. I just knew that I needed to. And so I'm just like wandering around my life for 2 days going, Lord, do you want me to do this? I'm ready to lay it down. Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to be a minister? And finally, I hear the Lord. And now I'm used to it. But when I was 13, I wasn't used to it. And he said, well, you are. Well, yes, Lord, I know. But I mean, do you want me to be a minister? You are. Right. But do you want me to go into full-time ministry? He said, you are. My whole life, the Lord has always reminded me of that word over and over and over and over and over again. And I have never been full-time. And I have been called into working a job that has nothing to do with the body of Christ. But over and over and over. What? Except that I'm there. Yeah, that the Lord is constantly saying this to me. You are.
So good. I want a church with no ministries, only ministers. A church with no ministries, only ministers. I'm giving you guys design pillars or something like that of what the Lord's giving me, and I can't give you all of them because it's just bit by bit. But things like kingdom first, the week more than Sunday, things like ministers, not ministries. Yes.
I have a question. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like there isn't a connection. Like, what is the church going to do for me to help me be a minister in a marketplace? Like,
yep.
How are you going to help me?
That's good. Yeah, one of the things that's going to need to happen, and I was just dreaming with Megan about this last night. I said, babe, I can't wait for about 6 months from now when I get to start teaching on what it looks like to transition this stuff to the marketplace. So you're right on it, Ed Hanna. That's something that needs to be done. The church does not teach about these things. We're teaching milk, 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 milk. And then you go out in the marketplace. You're like, I'm here for Jesus. You get your teeth kicked in. You don't know how to give to Caesar what Caesar's with your heart remaining God's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is something we need to learn to do and learn how to raise people up. And that's one of the reasons I'm talking politics with you guys, because if we can't have God's perspective about politics and hear what the Father's saying about these things while keeping our heart pure, it's indicative of not being able to play ball on the real field. Okay? All right. So, ministers, not ministries. One thing, and then I'll end. There's going to be an activation with this. When we moved out of the last space, the last day we were there, Renee came up to me, and I don't know, you guys might not know how it is to be a pastor with intercessors. I mean, you just get your mail read a lot of times, you know, and sometimes you don't even know that they're reading your mail. Sometimes you think they're not reading your mail, and it turns out they're reading your mail. So anyway, Renee says, "Have you said goodbye?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I done said goodbye a little while ago." I've been here a lot getting ready for this move. For those of you that don't know, we just moved from the basement of a old space, which we had renovated beautifully, but it was a, you know, lower level and all this sort of thing, and we're in this space, which is very different and more coinciding with this vision. By the way, do you guys see more and more how this vision, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I told Renee, I was like, "Yeah, I've said goodbye. I'm good." So anyway, I come back later that week to wrap a few things up. I'm there in the space, and I start weeping. I'm like, glad no one else is here. It's one of those things I felt like I could turn it off. But I start weeping, and instantly I had an interpretation of what was happening. The Lord's told me, he said, "You're interceding for the body right now, interceding for the church. Your tears are interceding." I'm like, boy, that's a different form of intercession than maybe I've done before, but I'm like, okay. So I start weeping. What I'm weeping over is the loss that we had experienced there. We had lost people. There had been issues. There's so much that Joshua and Brad had sown in, and not everything came to fruition as we maybe thought it would or whatever, you know. But I was weeping over these things and weeping and weeping. And then the Lord spoke to me very strongly, and he said this. He said, John 12:24. "But if it dies, it produces much grain." What did I say about a new operating system? Something needs to what?
Die.
It needs to die. It needs to stop before the what? The new can come in. It needs to have a shutdown, a reset. Okay? And so in some ways, I'm like, let me just be plain what I mean by the loss we experience. I always felt like that church in that space was just going to explode. We had very dynamic leaders, great worship, awesome people. It's like, this thing should explode. Why are we kind of like hidden? Do you see what I'm saying? So there's always this sort of sense in me of like, it seems like we haven't fulfilled fully what we could fulfill. That's what I was weeping over. And as I'm weeping over that, the Lord speaks to me and he says, "Sow that seed into the ground. Do not raise it back up. Don't dig it out. Count it lost. Let it be dead." You got to kind of catch it. I know it might not make total sense, but I'm saying. And I see this picture that's there, and it's got a barbed wire, and it's a sunset, meaning the end. The barbed wire is the difficulty, and here's this blade of grass that's gone to seed, and the Lord's saying, unless the seed falls to the ground, it will not bear much fruit. And I'm here to tell you that to whatever extent we felt like we failed as an attractional church model, the Lord's saying, sow that one dead right into the ground, and I'm going to raise it with a new body. A new form, a new sort of thing. Don't come into this place trying to reproduce or improve upon what he said. No, that was your seed for the next harvest. That was your seed. The former expression, which is a beautiful expression, but it seemed like we never produced the full harvest of what we could have handled and what we could have walked into or something like that, right? He's saying, let that be sown. Let that be sown. Don't dig it up. That's your seed. Let it die. That's what I was weeping over. Let that go under so I can raise it with a new body. I can raise it in a new form. And so what I want to do right now is I actually want everyone, if you would, where you're at, stand your feet if you want to. We need to intercede for our church. And what we need to do, because I can't do that for you, we each in our own hearts need to allow that whole vision to die. Because I'm telling you, God wants to do a new thing, a reformation in the church. But so long as we have a goal of church as an attractional model, we will never move into a sent model. Guys, the attractional model, I think it's done. It's at least not for us. It's at least not for us. I think it could go the way of Kodak. But it might not. Praise God if it doesn't. But I'm just saying it could. But we're getting called into the digital space, so to speak. And it's like, let's go there. But so long as we try to keep a foot over here, waffling between two things, saying, I want more of this. Why hasn't it been this? Let it die. Let all of those expectations die. God says that is now your seed to create the harvest for the next season. I'm speaking to the church of Agathos. So here, let's just, I don't know what to do. Let's just start praying. You can pray in the spirit at your seat, but let's raise up our voices a little bit here. If someone gets a word, you can come grab the microphone and pray. I really feel like we need to corporately intercede because something has to die in order for this sort of wineskin to come into place.
Okay, so I've said this many times before, and like this is kind of really hitting a button for me. On your license plate, you have sower. So we went to that conference years ago, and we got that word hidden church. And so I was always, you know, we have a hidden church. And I know I even spoke about this when that first time we were in here, but it's like I always thought of it as another building. You know, I'm still thinking, still up to the probably this day, I'm still thinking it's another building. And then even when I spoke over here, I was like, we're the hidden church and this is our place. But I think what you're saying, the revelation you've got is it's not about where we're really at. It's just that we're letting that die over there. You have sown, we have sown. And the seed has fallen, but I just wanted to, before we start praying about that, you know, I kind of see it as that it's not really a physical thing. It's whatever it's going to be. Yeah. And now I can let go of thinking it was a place.
Yeah, do you guys see what Don's saying? Everything in our mindset, this is where I'm saying you need a whole new shelving system. Something needs to stop in our thinking. Everything in our mindset says successful church, lots of people, big levels of attraction, awesome Facebook following, lots of ministries. And I've gone through this not just from scripture to this whole thing of where I want a church with no ministries, only ministers, but I've also talked with my wife and talked with others, I think others, but I've been thinking to myself, who do I know that's super strong in the Lord that their testimony goes like this? I became an amazingly strong minister when I got involved with a formal programmatic ministry at my church. Never heard that testimony in my life. Never heard it. It's never produced, that I know of, the fruit that we might think it would produce. Instead, I hear, I got so serious about Jesus. I started reading the Word, and I was in the Word, and I had such a problem with anxiety, so I was in the Word, and in the Word, and in the Word, and all of a sudden, I'm overflowing with the Word, and then I was talking to this person. They got saved, so I started discipling. Then I did. That's what changed their life as a minister. It wasn't that they baked cookies. The cookie ministry. Do cookies as much you want to. I'm just not running it. Ministers, not ministries. Okay? All right, well, let's just raise up our voices. You can do it at your seat however you want to. I'll do it from the microphone. Someone come grab the mic if you want. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this body and the calling that you've placed upon us. Man, I just hear this phrase, let it go. Guys, listen. I'm serious. I've gotten excited for the last month to tell people, that they say, what do you do? I say, well, I'm an educational consultant and I pastor a small church. I'm like excited to tell people our church is small now. I'm excited. So I don't even have to go through the whole thing. Oh, I think I've heard of that. Like trying to be nice. No, you ain't. You probably haven't. But I'll tell you what, we are a small church that's going to have great influence. Now, we might end up becoming big. It doesn't matter to me. But your level of influence matters very much to me. Jesus had a church of 12. It did okay. So, Father, we let it go. You guys, each person needs to do it in your heart. If you're not ready to, then do it at home. But we let it go, that whole vision of our church is successful if. Lord, we don't want to excel in the film business any longer. We declare we see the new day. We don't know what it looks like, but Lord, thrust us into the digital space, so to speak. Lord, what does decentralized church look like? What does it look like where everybody's a minister? Father, help us honor the history and the past and the what's been done before, but also help us see the new. I pray, Father, right now that shelving systems would start to be rearranged in our hearts. We open you up to say, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I impart the vision that you've given to me to each person, that as I've caught it by the Spirit, that each person here and everybody at the sound of my voice online would catch the vision in the name of Jesus. Catch the vision in Jesus' name. I release the vision to you. Father, thank you for the great privilege we have in the days ahead of us to explore what it looks like to be a church of the kingdom, people not just coming to church, but being the church, and for Monday through Saturday to be a bigger deal than Sunday. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
During worship, I had a sense from the Lord that, like, in this space, we're all kind of standing. There's no stage, there's no organization. But I got a sense that there's no one's head above the rest. Yeah. No one's head is above anyone else's. Yeah. So Peter has a position here, but his head is not above each one of our heads. Mm-hmm. We are all ministers, just like Peter is. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting about that is the sense of responsibility that comes with it. We don't get to put our pastor as the person who's responsible for our faith, for our walk, for our results. So I feel like I just want to challenge you all to noodle that with me, because that's different. It's different, but it's exciting. And not only does who's the most blessed person in the Western church? It's the pastor. The pastor's revered. The pastor's honored. The pastor, you know, gets all the blessing of the ministry. They also get all the responsibility. Well, not here. Not here. We all get all the responsibility. We all get all of the honor and all the blessing, and all because we're all ministers. But that is a sense of responsibility, and one that we should noodle and take seriously. If we lead somebody to the Lord here, we're not going to bring them to Peter so that Peter can disciple them. Because there's no program for that. So, I mean, are we going to invite them to another church? Maybe we can. But, you know, I just want to challenge you all to think about that, because I've been thinking about it a lot. And we don't want to drop our balls. Mm-hmm. We don't want to drop the ball. We want to keep dribbling, keep running with it. So, praise you, Lord.
That's one of the things the Lord spoke to me. He said one of the things that needs to die today is the expectation of centralized ministry. We've just got some faint hope in your heart. Well, like, my church will do it. Who? I have a ministry. It includes pastoring this church. Pastoring this church is not my whole ministry. My wife, my children, bigger deal than that. I've got a ministry in education. I've got ministry outside of that. So I've got a ministry to do. I can't do yours. But I can equip you. Isn't that awesome? Okay. Renee, and then we'll wrap. So do you want to wrap us?
Sure.
Okay.
Peter and I, when we were in intercessory prayer today, I was reminded, and I was reminded 2 weeks ago when we were here, when there are a couple of different people talking about a birthing, that it's time to birth now. And I remember years ago, God gave me a word for our church. I was in intercession for our church, and I found myself in a womb. And I said, God, is this me in the womb? And he said, no, it's the church in the womb. And I can't remember the whole thing, but I'm going to go and try and find it. Aaron, I think you may have it, but okay. And So I can't remember all of it, but I do remember this. I remember God, exactly what you were just saying, and also what you've been saying about individual responsibility. The word had to do with, it's not the only way we are going to accomplish what we need to accomplish corporately is it's going to happen individually. That every one of us, exactly what Brian was just saying, every one of us has to take responsibility before God for what God has called us to do. And only as we do that will we accomplish what God wants to accomplish corporately.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
One thing really quick. God's been speaking to me the past few weeks just about, he's said to me, we are not called to win people over. We are called to set people free. And I feel like as we set people free, they will then go out and set other people free.
There's a responsibility, but there's an empowerment. The body of Christ has been waiting to be able to be the ministers, just like Ephesians 4 says. I mean, like, part of it's like, well, I've got a job to do. The other part of it's like, I'm allowed to do it. That's exciting. That's really exciting. So I just want to tell you, what God starts, he will empower. He will empower. He will empower. Guy.
Mm-hmm. I thought about what ministry meant to me, being around so many people. Jesus smelled like he smelled like the sheep. He was around people. He got to experience what they were going through, but he was already common with their with all the things they would do. Anyway, so he said it was such as common to man. He was tempted in all likes manner. That's temptation, but he was familiar with flesh, period. And I think about like when you first gave your life to the Lord and you got saved, what was that difference? And then people began to realize, wait a minute, he's saved now. What does that mean? It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh, so is he. So when he's looking at you, or people are looking at you, and they're seeing you, and they're taking you in, and they're realizing something about you, there's life in that. That is that difference. You're set apart. And so there's another scripture that talks about, your testimony is the shield of your faith. Now, our faith is in Christ. And Christ is in God. And he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So when people hear you talking and they're sharing, you're sharing your testimony, what you've been delivered from, what you've been healed from, what you, God has given you wisdom in, uniqueness in, deliverance in. All these things are coming because the whole world is groaning. Their heart is anxious and want to know. They want to know, what is it about you that gives you liberty to do what you do and the freedom that you're walking in? And that's only if you're walking in freedom. That's only if you're walking in liberty, healing, deliverance, and all those things, wisdom, understanding. So take in consideration to that. You got to think about, in order for anyone to have ministry, a service, what has God dealt with you in? What has he called you out in? That's the base level of ministry, is what has he done for you? Mm-hmm. What has he done in you? What has he brought you out of into his marvelous light? Mm-hmm. That's the basis for anything. So if anybody was questioning, what is my ministry? It's that basic stuff right there. What are you saying that God has done?
Come on.
What can you say? You have to know what he's done. It's basic. So when somebody asks you with hope in their eyes, hey, man, what is it about? What's going on? Tell me about this. You're actually to give an account for the hope that lies within you. It's the hope that's in you. People want hope. They need hope. I'm dead in my sin and trespasses. I can't think straight. I'm burdened with this, these problems. Everybody's dying on me. All these things are, I can't get a job. I don't know how to be. I just don't know how to be as a man. I don't know how to be as a woman. People are expecting this from me and doing it. All the things that come from the world, born in a sin, shaped in iniquity, that's on us. So therefore, when God has delivered us out of it, what do we say concerning those things? Mm-hmm. So be encouraged in that. Think about those things. And therefore, they can hear the hope and be encouraged, and then it can run like wildfire. Mm-hmm. He said, if it takes faith as a mustard seed, you shall move mountains. Those are the mustard seeds right there. So be encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. That is awesome. All right, guys. Well, I just pray the Father's blessing over you in Jesus' name. Remember how I did it this last week? I'm like, what is he saying? This is new. This is new. You know where your greatest safety is? Real close to him, in his word and prayer. Take this before the Lord in prayer. Ask him about it. Let him work with you. Let him reshape the framework of your heart. Ask him questions about it. Challenge me on it. You know, Lord, what is this? This seems crazy. You know, talk to him about it. Let him work with you, okay? I pray God's blessing upon you. You can hang out as long as you'd like. If anybody would like ministry, come on up. There's ministers all around you, but come on up, and Renee and I and others will pray for you. All right, God bless you guys.